You're listening to Knowledge at Wharton on Business Radio, Sirius XM 111. Here again is Dan Loney.
Hour number two of Knowledge at Wharton here on Sirius XM 111, Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School. Thanks for spending part of your day with us. It is Friday, the 22nd of June. Great having you joining us wherever you are listening to us around the United States or up into Canada. Coming up on the second hour of our show, at the top, we're going to talk about the Greeks' debt crisis, because that may be changing slightly in the near future. The Eurozone supposedly taking care of Greece to maybe help start deal with some of their debts. But there are obviously many other problems that need to be dealt with as well. We'll have the latest on that coming up in just a minute. Then in our final 30 today, despite the issues brought forth recently in the NAFTA negotiations, a new book takes a look at just how closely intertwined the United States and Mexico really are economically, and why seemingly that won't change much anytime in the near future. All of that coming up in the second hour of our show. The way for you to join in is either by phone at 844-WHARTON, 844-942-7866. Or if you're not able to get to your phone, you can send us a comment via Twitter, either at BizRadio111 or my Twitter account, which is at DanLoney21. First, though, our number of the day. And our number of the day today is 600,000. That number relating to reports coming out recently that ministers of OPEC, the oil-producing nations around the globe, especially in the Mideast, they have announced a deal to increase oil supplies, increasing production by about 600,000 barrels a day. And that is noteworthy because of the gasoline price increases we have seen here in the United States in the last few months. And what it may very well do is slow down the growth of oil prices and then hence downstream a little bit, maybe, just maybe, slowing down the growth on gasoline prices that we have seen in the last several months. By the way, the current national average for AAA is at $2.86 a gallon. That's down about a penny from yesterday. It's down about 7 cents from a month ago. We're already seeing a little bit of a retreat. We may very well see more with the production increases by OPEC that they have apparently agreed to earlier today in Vienna, Switzerland, or Vienna, Austria, 600,000 extra barrels of oil a day going to be produced by OPEC. That is our number of the day, 600,000. It appears that an agreement has been reached to help Greece deal with its massive debt and economic struggles that the country has been going through for some time now. The agreement will allow Greece to be able to pay off some of its short-term obligations, but will it be a good decision for Greece in the long run? It seems like the mindset around that part of the story may be fluctuating a bit right now. Joining us on the show to discuss this is Scheherazade Rahman, who's a professor of international finance and business, as well as professor of international affairs at George Washington University. Scheherazade, great to have you with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. So give us your thoughts on this deal. Is it both short-term and long-term a good one for Greece?
Well, clearly in the short run, it's a good deal for Greece. I would say short to medium term. The Greek bailout ends on August 21st. This is after 8 years and 320 billion euros later, including, you know, lasting political fissures. We've come to a conclusion with the bailout. Basically, what happens is Greece will receive a final a billion in loans over the last 2 months of the program. And there are three key features of this, which is why in the short and medium run, this is a good deal for them. They'll get a 10-year extension on loans of of 100 billion euro, which was granted in previous bailouts. They have a 10-year deferral on interest and amortization, effectively till 2033. And they've got a cash buffer of 24 billion to cover its sovereign financial needs for the next 22 months. And this includes a $15 billion payout for IMF loans, which are more expensive. That carries them for the short and medium term. It's the future that is daunting.
Why so?
Well, because Greece, in the end, might not be able to rebuild a stable bond market, and we could possibly need another bailout at some point. You know, so the short-term debt isn't hard to service, and they don't have a lot of payments coming up in the coming years. But in the long term, Athens might have to replace this cheap bailout loans with future market funding, and we don't know what the cost of that is. You know, it's going to be hard. The IMF is, you know, blatantly sort of voicing its fears about the future. Look, you've got to understand that, yes, there's been growth, and yes, there's been movement. You know, the Greek GDP growth has been 1.4% last year, approximately. But one-fifth of the Greeks are jobless.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of Greeks have low-paying temporary jobs. Households have seen their incomes drop by a third. There's more pension cuts coming. There's more tax increases coming. And, you know, it's not sure if the international markets think Greece will be credible enough with 180% of debt-to-GDP ratio to be able to sell new debt in the financial markets. They are years away from that.
Well, so then is there when we said, is this a good deal for Greece in short and medium term, is that more specifically the country itself? Because is there a differentiation between whether this is good for Greece and then the people of Greece, as you just mentioned, tax increases, cuts to pensions, those are all things that for the people that are working in Greece, and you mentioned the 20% unemployment rate, but still, those things are issues that probably are not very good for the people of Greece.
So, you know, there are a couple of aspects and the ways to look at this. One, this is definitely a win for the prime minister, because he can declare that the bailout has ended, and Greece is actually moving forward, and they are. Having said that, you know, I think a lot of other economists are fearful that if they do not continue the reforms, which are going to be excessively painful, this generation of, you know, I would say medium-age workers are not going to feel the benefits of the new Greece decades later. They're still going to have to suffer through the pain, and there's more pain in the future. And that's the unfortunate part. Right. And so politically, is this sustainable? I think this is a critical issue. Because if they don't adhere to the loan rules and oversight, you know, that the IMF and the Eurozone is providing, if they don't adhere to those, you know, that deal, that piece of the deal, then these loans might dry up.
Also joining us on this discussion, is Jeremy Zettelmeyer, who's a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics, as well Nicholas Economides, who's an economics professor at NYU. Jeremy, great to have you with us today. Thank you for your time.
Thanks. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Nicholas, great to have you as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. So, Nicholas, start with you. What is your reaction to this announcement?
Well, my reaction is that this is only a very temporary fix. In fact, if you look carefully at the Eurogroup decision, it was crafted to create a cushion of cash that would allow Greece to temporarily pay its external debt obligations without issuing new bonds for a couple of years. And it signifies that the European Union has abandoned the goal of Greece returning to the global financial markets, which was supposed to be the goal of the programs. Instead, it's giving cash to Greece to avoid going into the financial markets. So I'm afraid what's going to happen is that Greece is not going to go into the financial markets. It will spend the cash. After the cash is spent, a couple of years, two, 3 years down the line, Greece is going to be desperate again and bankrupt again and will ask for a new bailout. So I'm afraid that what has happened here is not a solution of the problem. It's just a postponement of the problem.
Jeremy, what is your reaction to all of this playing out?
Yeah, so I basically agree with Nicholas. This creates a window of maybe 10 years or so, where if they stick to the very ambitious fiscal path that they have agreed with the Eurogroup, they will be okay. So it does give them a window to recover in which the debt does not explode. The problem is that the debt still is not sustainable. And the reason for that is that this whole plan that was agreed to is predicated on Greece keeping extremely unusually high fiscal surpluses over an extraordinarily long period until 2060. And there's just no historical precedent for that. So what will likely happen is that, you know, even though they do okay, even if they do okay in the next 10 years, meaning roughly sticking to these fiscal targets, they're going to be substituting more and more very cheap official debt for more expensive private debt. And that will at some point create a debt dynamic because of the higher interest rates on the private debt where the debt profile no longer goes down. So they become stuck at high debt levels, still in the order of above 100% of GDP. I mean, remember, they're starting out with 180.
Yeah.
So they will slowly come down, but they will at some point get stuck because the composition of debt changes. And so in about maybe 10 years' time, if we're lucky, you know, much less if we are unlucky, the world will realize that there is still a Greek debt problem. And the problem is that at that point, I don't think it can be solved anymore just with an official sector rescheduling, because at that point, a fairly large chunk of the debt will again be privately owned. And so in some sense, you know, this deal pre-programs a new debt crisis. And so in that sense, it is really quite unfortunate.
Sherazade, your reaction to the comments of Nicholas Engerman?
You know, I can't disagree with anything that's been said, you know, and I think I'll just put a sort of a cap on all this and say that, you know, basically what we are having in the next, you know, over the next 10 years is Greece going back to the same position it was before it joined the euro, where it has an inordinately high percentage of debt in the private sector at very high interest rates. You know, and I think one thing that one has to keep in mind is, and a lot depends on what is going on with the European Central Bank as well. You know, we still have Italy to consider. And just a month ago, you know, we were worried about Italy, and to a larger extent, I still am, because if Italy runs into real trouble with the European Central Bank and the other Eurozone members by reneging on any part of the benefits that they're getting now in terms of unlimited bond buying, right, then Greece will be in further trouble.
We mentioned, Nicholas, before with Sherazade, the 24 billion euro buffer to take care of their costs for the next 2 years. I assume that they believe that that is enough to be able to handle their operations for the next couple of years. But I guess what has to occur in that time frame to not only be able to deal with the basic obligations that they have as a country, but also to be able to continue to tackle some of the debt questions?
Yes, I think that the money is probably enough for a bit less than 2 years. But I think that what we should really focus is the possibility of a real solution for Greece, which unfortunately is not in the path that the EU and the IMF plans have gone in the direction they have gone. Greece needs to achieve high growth, 4 to 5% a year for 5 years, and not pay any debt during that time, and not have big surplus targets in that time. So, unfortunately, what has happened is that the EU and the IMF have imposed this tremendous 3.5% surplus to Greece, and Greece cannot grow under those conditions. So instead, I think the right solution is to have very low surplus target for 4 to 5 years, let Greece grow, let it become an economy like it was in terms of size in 2008, mm-hmm. and then start paying the debt. The way that things are going, as I think everybody has agreed this far, Greece will never be able to pay its debt. So it's in the interest of the Europeans to, in fact, have a different growth plan for Greece, which will allow Greece to pay off its debt, to also be, to grow, to be richer, and also pay off its debt. The way it's going right now, Greece will never pay its debt.
Chairman?
Could I
So I agree with the conclusion. I don't really agree how Nicholas gets to his conclusion. So basically, in given the volume and you know time profile of Greece's debt, the question of how high growth is in the next couple of years is almost irrelevant to the question of debt sustainability. So arithmetically, it just doesn't play a big role. What plays a big role is, you know, what are the fiscal surpluses that can be sustained over a 30, 40-year period? What will growth be in the long term, meaning over the next 50 years? And so here, I think, you know, there is just not a very strong base to be optimistic. So the types of fiscal purposes that they assumed are quite a bit lower compared to where Greece is today, which is above 3.5% in primary surplus terms, so ignoring interest spending. But they're still extremely high historically, even in an international context. And then with respect to long-term growth, Greece has a demographics problem. And so even if make quite optimistic assumptions on productivity growth in Greece, it's really hard to see a real growth rate in the long term that's very much above 1% of GDP. Now, I do agree that, you know, it would have been better to give Greece a bit more fiscal room at the short end. However, one mustn't forget that the real austerity effort is already behind us, right? So this was to get Greece from roughly, zero primary surplus, where they were only in 2015, to over 3.5. And so they have been at this very high level of primary surpluses now for 2 years in a row. And, you know, they are at this point just required to sustain that. So if the external environment is reasonably favorable, I'm pretty sure they can recover in a cyclical sense, not with the numbers that Nicholas mentioned, but, you know, in the 2-3% range. And, you know, whether they then grow at 4 or 5% over the next few years doesn't really make a huge difference in the long term. I think the right strategy would have been to focus on Greece's ability to maintain this relatively high private surplus targets over the long term without, you know, a significant political or social conflict. And so I argued with some co-authors a couple of months ago in a paper that probably giving Greece incentives by reducing the face value of the debt would have been a good way of getting there, and that this right. could have been done in a gradual way. So year by year, effectively, you know, matching Greece's fiscal overperformance euro by euro through face value relief. And that then would have made the fiscal target that some simply assumed at this point somewhat more realistic. So that would have been the approach that I would have advocated.
Scheherazade, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I agree, you know, that the alternatives proposed by Jeremy and Nicholas are really the most productive way forward for Greece. The critical issue is that road is no longer open to them. They displayed an incredible amount of political immaturity during this process, and that has created lasting political fissures where the Eurozone is not in any condition or mood to give Greece any alternative leeway which would make more sense economically and from a fiscal standpoint. Therefore, you know, they're stuck with this deal. And they are paying in some ways for the past indiscretions politically that they exhibited when they were negotiating with the Eurozone.
844-942-7866. Or if you'd like, send us a comment via Twitter at BizRadio111 or my Twitter account, which is at DanLoney21. Nicholas, I would imagine then part of this moving forward would also be a political question as to the impact that this might have on the current politicians in Greece and the reaction that many people in that country might have. People that obviously are going to see their pensions get cut and are going to have to deal with higher taxes. I would think that there are probably many political members in Greece right now that probably have to be a little bit concerned.
Well, I think the government is going to propose this as a huge success. But people know better, like you mentioned, that their pensions are going to be cut. New taxes are going to be imposed, especially on low-income people, people with incomes between 6,000 and 9,000 euros, who right now do not pay tax, but they will have to pay tax pretty soon, in a few months. So people are going to be upset. And it's very likely that the center-right opposition party is going to get elected whenever there are elections. Elections could be anywhere between this fall and a year from this fall. But I hope that the new prime minister will go to the European Union and explain that the present plan, as agreed by the present government and the European Union, is not going to work. It's not going to repay fully the debt to the Europeans. So if the Europeans have a self-interest to get paid back, despite the horrible past of the relations between the European Union and Greece, despite that, the only way that they're going to get paid back is if Greece grows quickly for a few years. So I would still urge the new prime minister to tell the European Union that, in fact, Greece should have very low budget deficits, budget surpluses for a few years, and be able to grow before it pays back the debt. I actually think that this is the only solution, and it's the only solution that actually pays back the Europeans. So if the difficulty, the main difficulty, I think, is that we're dealing with politicians on all sides, and everybody has very short horizons.
Sure.
I mean, it's very hard to convince people that the best solution 20 years from now is this, when their horizon is 6 months. So this is a real problem, which I don't know how it can be fixed.
Chairman?
So again, I disagree slightly with the approach. So Greece's main problem right now is not continuing austerity, because that is largely a sunk cost, right? So they are now for 2 years in a row at between 3.5% and 4% primary surplus. They have a little fiscal space, and they have, quite powerful cyclical forces that will help them recover. The main problem is that the Damocles sword of a further confrontation with the creditors has not been taken off the table. And the result is that there remains an inherent sustainability problem that will probably force a new confrontation in about 10 years. And if that happens, that's going to be bad for people who have decided to invest in Greece in the meantime. So the important thing is to take this off the table by having a durable solution, and we are not there, right? Mm-hmm. And so I do agree that there needs to be a renegotiation. However, I don't think it should take the emphasis should not be on engineering a slightly bigger recovery in the short run. I think it should be to reassure investors that we have fundamentally tackled the Greek sustainability problem, and that is not the case right now.
Jarizad?
I think it's going to be really, really tough to convince the Greek voters in the near future to elect what I would say a reasonable party that could negotiate in the manner in which Jeremy just mentioned, which clearly they need to do, but I can't imagine a party being elected with that kind of approach. The Greek people want a solution, and they wanted it 5 days ago.
8-4. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Can I just say? Yep. So the problem you see is that a sustainable approach requires changing the strategy, not so much for the very short term, right? And by the way, I also don't think that a New Democracy government would really be able to successfully do that. It requires looking beyond the next 5 or 10 years and anticipating what might be happening then. And unfortunately, our political systems are notoriously bad at giving politicians incentives to look beyond those 5 or 10 years. And so this is why we have effectively a collusion right now between the Greek government and the creditors to really just focus on the issue of reaccessing the markets and sell this as the big triumph. And of course, you know, raising any doubts about the sustainability of what has been agreed risks unraveling the entire deal, because then the immediate costs of reaccessing the markets will be much higher, right? And so they are really, all sides have this common incentive to keep the longer-term problem under the rug.
Nicholas?
Yes, I understand. But unless we go to the very low surpluses that I proposed before, we know there is going to be problems of bankruptcy for Greece a few years down the line. Maybe it's going to be 5 years. Some people say 10, some people say more. But if I'm a bond investor and I'm thinking of buying Greek bonds, and I know that in the long run the debt is not sustainable, then what maturity bonds should I buy? I mean, should I buy a three-year bond and then hopefully Greece is not going to go bankrupt by in 3 years? I mean, this is a real serious issue. So in some way, I agree with the other comments that everybody has an incentive to say everything is all right when it's not. But at some point in time, some investor is going to find that this is not really the case and is going to make a killing, depending on how he bets. I remember that in 2009, Greece had AAA rated bonds until 1 month before it couldn't pay. So we are getting, I'm afraid, in some sort of situation like that again.
844-942-7866 if you'd like to join in. We're joined on the phone by Nicholas Economides from NYU, Scheherazade Rahman from George Washington University, and also by Jeremy Zettelmeyer from the Peterson Institute. 844-942-7866, or if you'd like, send us a comment via Twitter, either at BizRadio111 or my Twitter account, which is at DanLoney21. Scheherazade, as we've done stories on this in the last couple of years, the mindset of the Greeks towards the EU and European government in general hasn't been very good. Does this ease that in any way, shape, or form?
I think it may temporarily, but not in the long run. When they start feeling the hits of the tax reforms and the pension cuts, look, I think this calls for a solution on a multilateral level. You know, this is what the IMF was made for, to help countries. You know, I don't want to throw this all on Christine Lagarde's lap because she does have to coordinate with the Eurozone governments in order to carry this out. But this is the exact kind of test case where the IMF really needs to step in and say, you know, this is a long-term problem. We are just putting this under the rug. And so here's another solution, and this is why we created multilateral institutions for. Now, having said that, again, you know, Greece's political naivete in the early days, you know, has hurt that relationship as well. But that's probably the only solution I see in a positive way if the IMF does step in here now.
Nicholas?
Well, I think that Greece is in a very dangerous crossroads of the Middle East. It faces a very significant adversary, that is Turkey, and it needs to stay in good relations in the center of Europe as much as possible, in the nucleus of Europe as much as possible. And people in Greece understand that. They're not willing to accept the pain that comes with that, but I think that having tried all shades of political parties this far, maybe they will accept that there is some stuff that have to be done economically. Mm-hmm. At the same time, they should demand, in my opinion, a clear path to which does not involve bankruptcy in the future.
Jeremy, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, the basic logic of the income tax reform and the pension reform are both fine, right? So these were areas where Greece was really structurally weak, where exemptions on income tax were higher than in other European countries. Replacement rates on pension reforms were also higher than in other European countries. And the result is that you then have very little fiscal space for other things. And so remember that these things were actually not insisted on in the last round of negotiations by the European Union, but this was entirely the initiative of the IMF. And I think they pushed this for the right reasons. So I do think that, you know, yes, this may cause some more pain, but not a whole lot more pain, because overall, they do not need to raise their fiscal surpluses further, right? They just need to change the structure of their fiscal balance. So I think this is basically the right approach.
Right.
I think that it simply, you know, what is unrealistic is to expect to then continue with this level of austerity for many more years, even after these structural changes have been phased in.
Great having you all with us today. Jeremy, thank you very much for your time joining us from the Peterson Institute. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nicholas Scheherazade, thank you for your time as well. Thank you all. Jeremy Zettelmeyer from the Peterson Institute, Nicholas Economides from NYU, Scheherazade Rahman from George Washington University. Our final 30 comes up in just a second. We take a look at a book that looks at the relationship between Mexico and the United States. The book is titled Vanishing Frontiers. We'll talk with the author coming up in just a minute. Sirius XM 111 Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School.